Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, Lead Pastor, The Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
Such a blessing. John chapter 20, verse 1. John chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloth lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloth lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. Praise the Lord. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Praise the Lord. Tell somebody, Jesus is risen. And the sepulchre is empty. Can you tell about three people that Jesus is risen? I want to let you know that the sepulchre is empty, it's empty, it's empty. It's an empty grave. Praise the Lord. The death of Jesus Christ was a gruesome death. His burial is powerful and historic, but even more powerful was his resurrection. And Jesus, time and time again, spoke about his death in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, 24. This is what Jesus said. Then said Jesus unto the disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus was talking to his followers that there is the need to follow him. That's the first point I want to establish. But it's difficult to follow this man when you don't believe him. It's difficult to follow a God whose exploits you do not know, and you don't believe, and you don't see as the supremest of all. So why should we be following Jesus? Why should we be following Jesus? Matthew 17, verse 9. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. So here we see that he's now talking to his disciples that, you know, this is the vision of the transfiguration. He said, Don't tell anybody until I am risen from the dead. So he was clearly telling them that he was going to rise from the dead. Praise the Lord. Because people did not rise from the dead. And if they did, they did not live on. They lived and died again. So many people were resuscitated from death. Even Lazarus was brought back to life, isn't it? But he died again. The uniqueness of the resurrection of Christ is that he rose from the dead and didn't die again, and he liveth forever. He's living forever. He rose from the dead not to die again, and he liveth forever. So that's something we are going to explore. Mark chapter 9, verse 31. look at Jesus talking about his death again and said, for he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Praise the Lord. Jesus talked to them about what was going to befall him, that he was going to be delivered unto sinful men, and they were going to kill him, and after 3 days he was going to rise. I think that is very powerful. No such savior predicted their death and resurrection the way that it was prophesied about Jesus from the Old Testament all the way to himself talking about his death. Jesus is a unique savior. And that gives us the bragging right as Christians, knowing that we don't just serve anyone who was a figure of history and people are trying to coin things around and all of that. It is recorded how Jesus lived his life, how he died, was buried, he rose again, and he ascended bodily in the eyes of many. Physically ascended, and he lived forever, and he's coming back again. Praise the Lord. This is what makes Easter powerful. He said, they will kill me. And the death of Jesus was a very cruel death. And though the Bible is saying that man, it looks like a murder, it looks like a killing, a mob action and all of that. But if you study the Bible carefully, you find out that he voluntarily died. He donated himself. He said, I will lay down my life and I will pick it up again. He says that, pull this temple down, and in 3 days, I will build it. Praise the Lord. He was just talking about himself that, look, if I said they will not kill me, they won't kill me. But I am donating myself to be killed so that I will showcase my sacrifice, my love to the people who least deserved it. Are you with me? So Jesus donating himself in that sacrificial debt is what he calls love. It's a great sacrifice to showcase his great love for you and I who did not deserve it at all. In fact, you read Romans chapter, I think chapter 5, it talks about the fact that he laid down his life. He died to save men who did not deserve it at all. And whilst we were yet sinners, Christ laid down his life and died for us. This is the good news. This is what? The good news, that undeserving men had a lover who sacrificially donated his life to be killed. If you look at the scourging and the lacerations he had on his body, the kind of things they used to beat him, they tore his brow, they took his mustache, they put some iron crown on his head, they butchered and battered him, they pierced him in his feet and in his hands, and the shock waves went through from the bottom of his feet to his brain. He had all manner of things that medicine cannot describe, and yet he didn't stop it. To showcase his debt, to showcase his love for humanity, he didn't stop it. He could have stopped it. And he told them, he said, if I wanted to stop it, I will ask my Father to send millions of angels to stop this. He didn't stop it. In fact, when he was in the grave, the angels were not the ones that removed the stones for him to come out. He came out himself. And the angels removed the stone so that you and I will see that it is an empty grave. He didn't need the help of angels to do anything for him. He is God by himself. He's a self-sustaining God. Are you here with me at all? Too powerful. So that we will see the evidence of this Jesus that we serve. It's not a mean thing at all that we have faith in him, and we are the most privileged people here on earth. that we serve a Savior who is not just a human being, but he lives forever. Praise the Lord. In John chapter 20, we see the scripture we read. Jesus, Magdalene going to the tomb and then finding the tomb very empty, she ran and went and told the disciples that they've taken our master away. But really they had not taken him away. When Jesus met him in verse 15, in verse 14 actually, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 15, Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, say, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say what? Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Praise the Lord. I think this is very deep. That what did the resurrection do for you and I? What did the resurrection do for you and I? Please go back to verse 15. One of the things that the resurrection does for you and I is that it gives us restoration. Praise the Lord. Restoration in Christ. Now remember that man was in the garden, messed up, and was thrown out of the garden. So man lost his estate. He lost his nature. He lost his estate. He was thrown out there, got an entirely different nature, and then struggled in a world outside the original garden that God, the gardener, had made east of Eden and had placed Adam in. Now, in the resurrection, Mary Magdalene and the disciples go to the graveside and find out that Jesus is no longer in the grave. So their initial thinking was that his body has been stolen. But the Bible says that the disciple that loved Jesus, she stayed back. This is our month of loyalty. And we'll talk about some of these things as the weeks go by. The disciple that deeply, passionately loved the Lord, she stayed back and she was still wondering, walking about, trying to find something and where they had placed the master. Then he met Jesus standing in the garden, but initially he didn't think that was Jesus. So she went to inquire of the man that he had seen in the garden that, please, if peradventure you know where they have taken him, you show me, I'll go for him. Praise the Lord. Come on now, praise the Lord. Under no circumstance should a believer abandon Jesus. Even in your disappointment, in your hopelessness, in your brokenness, like Mary Magdalene, you should still be standing looking for. And she came prepared with spices to administer to him. We shouldn't love Jesus because things are good. We should love Jesus because he laid down his life for us. And we love him whether in the good or whether in the bad or. And this earth is a very bad place. And there will be very bad things. But the bad things that happen to you and they break your heart, Jesus is not the source of it. Jesus is not the reason why you have broken heart. Jesus is not the reason why your desires are not met, your dreams are not met, your hope is deferred. Jesus is not the reason why it is so. So don't bring him into your trouble. Even though when you cast your burden on him, he's able to give you rest. But he is not the reason why you are carrying that burden. So Mary saw that, I can't find my Jesus. My heart is broken, but I ain't leaving, man. I'm going nowhere. I'm staying here. And I will continue seeking after this Jesus until I find him. And lo and behold, because when we seek him, we find him. He found him. May you never lose Jesus in Jesus' mighty name. So when he saw Jesus in the garden, the Bible says that Jesus said unto a woman, why are you weeping? And Jesus, why are you weeping? Verse 16. So this lady was weeping. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not. Praise the Lord. Can you go back to verse 15 or something like that? I read something there that was very important. Great. He said, Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener. I was making a point that man fell from glory, fell from grace, and was taken out of the garden. At the resurrection, we see that Mary is supposing Jesus to be the gardener because she found Jesus in the garden. It simply tells you that at the resurrection, the Lord restored man and reintroduced man to the garden effect. The garden that was originally the habitation of Adam and Eve before they fell to sin. Are you here with me at all? That is why she thought that he was the gardener, because originally God was the gardener. He created the garden and gave it to Adam. And so in the resurrection, the woman also, which is representative of us, thought that he was the gardener because she had been brought into the garden. Not just the graveside, but she's been brought into the garden. Are you here with me at all? So in resurrection, the man who has received Christ has received restoration back to the original place of glory. Where the Bible, when making inference in Romans 3:23, said that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. The whole package is the fact that man was restored back to the glory that was originally in the life of man. If you are here, say glory be to God. So say that in Christ, I have the full glory that was originally meant for me. One more time. Say in the resurrection, my glory is complete. So no more shame. No more curses. Say, I have the full glory of God living inside of me. Look at what the Bible said. It said, Christ in us is the hope of what? Glory. This is the fullness of the glory of God. That Jesus died and rose again. We have been restored into glory. And now when you read the latter part that I read from that verse 17. Say, Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them. Say simple, simple teaching. I can't hear you at all. Say simple, simple, simple word. What did the resurrection do? In the first thing is what? Man was what? Restored. The relationship between God and man was restored. Man's nature was restored into righteousness. And man's estate of glory was also restored to him. This is the full package of the restoration. The relationship with God the Father, the nature of righteousness, and the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit living in man, bringing man into full glory, you know, with God. Are you here with me at all? Number two, the identity of man, the position of man was also established in glory. You can see from this text that in this verse 17, Jesus said that the woman should not touch him, but go to my brethren. And Jesus, after the resurrection, is referring to his disciples, no longer as his disciples, but it's referring to them as his brethren. As what? Brethren. As his brethren. Go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. This is profound. You are no longer just friends. You are not servants. You are not slaves. You are not Gentiles. You are not Jews. You are not circumcised or uncircumcised. You have now become the brethren of Jesus Christ. You and I. Same family, same DNA, same blood flowing through us. We have become the brethren of Jesus Christ. That's why in the redemption we can cry. There is an adoption. There's an adoption that makes us cry, Abba Father, knowing that now the Lord is our Father and we are His sons. So you say, I go to my Father and your Father. Same family. We are seated with Him, seated together with Him. No longer boss and master kind of this thing. We are just brethren of the same household, and His name is on us. Our identity is not that of people who are struggling here on earth and all of that. We know where we come from, and we know where our source is. And my source is that the same source that Jesus has, that's the source that I have. Because I am in Him and He is in me. It's God talking to somebody now. So ask somebody, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? What kind of identity do you have? You know, people are just walking around. Sometimes they are looking for acceptance from people. The boy didn't like me. So you mean you don't love me? So am I not fine? Well, you belong to Jesus' family, you're fine. You are not only fine, you are blessed. Are you here with me at all? Yeah, you are blessed. Jesus refers to you as His brother, His sister. These are people who are in me and I am in them. My Father is your Father. This is powerful. Identity in Christ. It changes your position. It changes your condition. And it gives you authority. That simply means that everything Jesus has, you have it. Are you here? That's why in Luke chapter 10, it says that I am going, but all authority that has been given to me, I give it to you. Now, I came and I was the salt of the earth, but now you are the salt of the earth. I came, I was the light of the earth, of the world. Now you are the light of the world. Because we are one and same in Christ. Are you here with me at all? Paul talking about, he said, I live and move and have my being in Christ. I'm not operating outside Christ. My identity, my functionality, my position, all these things have shifted from somebody who was an alien, was a Gentile, getting ready to perish, and now I am in Christ. I am defined by Christ, in Christ, for Christ. Now that you are ambassadors of Christ, you are representing Christ. I am representing Christ. Christ is representing me. It's too powerful. Praise the Lord. Something has happened to me. I'm not the boy who comes from Kokrontumi again. I hail from Christ. This is powerful. Is it powerful? Are you sure it's powerful? Yeah. Then again, what does the resurrection of Christ prove? Let me just show you one thing, and then we'll bring the service to an end. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10, should we do that one? Are you sure? We are going to read it together, so let's read it together. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. If you are ready, say, I'm ready. And being found in the fashion, in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Praise the Lord. So one of the things that the resurrection of Jesus Christ proves is that Jesus has a name that is above every name in all spaces. He has what? He has a name. Jesus, by the resurrection, obtained a name that is above every name. In every space, this name has become like a trump card for the believer. And this is important for you as a child of God, or for us as children of God, because look at the dimensions that the scripture is talking about. That the fact that Jesus died and rose again, at the mention of his name, every knee should bow. This is authoritative statement. Not may bow, not shall. It should bow. There is no qualms and no argument. There is no beating about the bush, whether you like it or not. Because he has died, been buried, and has resurrected. When you hear his name, you have to bow. Are you here with me at all? Yesterday I was listening to a short video about a man who wanted to see Satan. Yeah, the man, and they told the man that, I think it was a Nigerian, they told the man that if he wants to see Satan, he should do A, B, C, D, he should fast for 7 months, or is it 7 months? 7 months, 7 weeks, 7 days, 7 hours, 7 minutes, and something. So he fasted for 4 months, and that one of the conditions is that he was not supposed to take a nap in the afternoon. So after fasting for 4 months, one day he forgot himself in the afternoon, and he did this. And I'm catching and say, I had to start all over again. But he so wanted to see Satan. Yeah, and he became very powerful in the history of Nigeria. He so wanted to see Satan. So he started afresh. He started again. And then chalked the 7 months. Never slept in the afternoon. And the day that he finished, Satan appeared to him. Yeah, and when Satan appeared to him, he was talking to Satan that, yeah, now I've seen you. But I want to be like you so that I'll be more powerful than Jesus. When he mentioned Jesus, now everywhere scattered, including the Satan. So Satan told him that, Sadin we moha, don't mention this name here. He said, hey, so I suffered to gain the supremest power, the highest power. And we are talking, and casually somebody's name came inside. And the name is beating you like that. Then no. I want the Jesus. I want the Jesus. I don't want you again, Satan. So that's how the man now sought for Jesus. Just at the mention of the name of Jesus, Satan could not stand. Because there is power in that name. Authority in that name. Are you here with me at all? Imagine you are going to see this important Satan, and then somebody is sitting in somewhere, casually his name comes inside, and he's just giving Satan what to. That is where the man said, no, then the real deal is Jesus. And this morning I present to you that by his resurrection, he's the real deal. And the reason why it's a real deal is that he already came from heaven. So his name is powerful in heaven. He came on earth and conquered the earth. His name is powerful here on the earth. There is only one realm that we did not know he had conquered, and that is the realm of darkness. That's the realm of hell, because he never lived in hell. And so when he died, his death took him to hell. and darkness. Look at Revelation chapter 1 verse 18. Look at Revelation 1 18. So that you see, he's just showing us that he's not only conquered heaven and earth, but he's also going to conquer hate, hell, where Satan, you know, this is Satan's abode. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of what? Death. So now he entered this dead space that is under the earth, the place called darkness, hell, hate, which is the abode of darkness, Satan, and every evil. He went there. He defeated them, took the power from. He went to their domain. They were doing home match. He went to their domain, defeated them, took the keys of the power of hell, the power of the grave, the power of death, and left there. He said, "You people, you are no match for me." And came and gave us that victory. And he says that, "I was alive, I died, but I live forever. I conquered heaven, conquered earth, I have conquered hell." This can be your bragging right, that you can take this my name as an ATM card. If you swipe it in heaven, it will work. You swipe it on earth, it will work. You swipe it even in hell, no devil can stop you, because I have gone there to defeat them. And in the resurrection, he came with a few dead people. He resurrected with them to prove that when he went, he really delivered captives from their hands. Too powerful. That's why no hell is a match to the man or woman who has Christ inside of them. And when you say in the name of Jesus, it's more than holding oil in your hand. It's more than doing some akwanchere. This is it. You have been given a name that is above every name. Every space in existence, both in the spirit and in the physical, recognizes his power. And this name works everywhere. You know, some systems work somewhere and they don't work in some other places. Acts chapter 2 verse 31 and 32. But Jesus said, "You can take my name to everywhere. Under the earth, under the water, anywhere you take. You mention my name, pim my water will recognize it and bow. You mention it in darkness, Satan will bow." Are you here with me at all? Ah, come on now. Are you sure you are here now? Yeah. In Acts chapter 2, he said, "He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." Jesus went to hell. And he showed this Jesus as God raised up, whereof we all are what? With the man went to hell. Hell could not capture his soul and keep him there. From today, no, you are going nowhere. He went there, defeated them, didn't see any corruption. He was resurrected and has given you and I power in his name. That when we mention his name, the same authority that he has, that name will command it. Anytime hell shows up in your life, all you need to do is that, in the mighty name of what?
Jesus.
Can I hear you, brother?
Jesus.
Jesus. That's all. Everywhere will be saluting you. Everywhere will be saluting you. Everywhere will be saluting you. Everywhere will be saluting, because at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. This is the joy of the resurrection. That in Christ we have authority in the name. That he said, when you pray in my name, Keboda Shatalaba, you will have joy. John chapter 15, verse 11. When you pray in my name, the resurrection will bring you so much joy. He says that these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. From today, receive the fullness of joy.
Amen.
That amen is not coming out at all. I have spoken this unto you. From today, be happy.
Amen.
That my joy will remain in you, and that your joy will be what? Full. full joy in your health, in your family life, full joy. Say, I have joy. Say, and it's a full joy. Say, because of the resurrection, at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee, say, I have the name, I have the name, the power in the name, I have it. Let me tell you, it is not because you have done 100 days of fasting that is why the name will be powerful. It is because you believe in the name. That's why the name will work for you. All you have to do is to believe. Can you tell someone, all you have to do is to believe in the name of Jesus. And all the authority that is in the name shall be yours. You can transact anywhere, including hell, and hell will not stop you. Is it powerful already? Yes. When you show up in heaven, Philippians 2 says, verse 10, it says that, and the Lord has given him a name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee, one, in where? In heaven. Two, where? On earth. Three, where Satan is, you have authority there. Charlie, so some of you should take a trip to the supermarket in hell and go and collect all your seized items, because the name of Jesus, and when you swipe it there, it will still work. They will not give you any restrictions based on the space, that this is hell, this name doesn't work here. He said, no, anywhere. If they have collected the head of your husband to hell, you go there in the name of Jesus. Because of the resurrection, he defeated hell. You go there and say, I collect the head. I collect the brain of my husband. I collect the brain of my child, my wife. Your boss is not thinking well. Maybe his head is inside some lodge or some aquatic space. Go and lay hands upon that boss and say, in the name of Jesus, I collect your brain from that COVID. And it will work, baby. He can misbehave to other people, but when he sees you, that brain will bow to the Jesus that is at work in you. This is what makes intercession effective. That there is nothing Satan has taken that cannot be recovered. He said, I give you the keys, that whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose is also loosed. You have the power. Praise the Lord. Are you blessed? This is the bragging right. That you have a password, you have a passcode that works everywhere in all spaces. It's beautiful. Can you celebrate that? Can you celebrate Jesus? And can you shout the name that you are celebrating? This is a revelation you should carry when you are praying and you are saying, in the mighty name of what? Jesus. Bibiabe arrange pepe pepe. The veil tore before you, silenced the voice of sin.
The veil tore before. Can you sing it, church?
Beautiful God.
Can you sing it, church? Come on.
You reign, you are the excellent God. You reign, excellent God.
Excellent God.
Say you reign.
You reign. Everywhere will scatter. Are you here with me at all? He has obtained that certification and given it to you and I. When you say, in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess, in heaven, on earth, beneath the earth. Why? Because he died, he rose again, and he lives forever. I am he who was, who is, and is to come. I live forever. No, hey, no savior, no religious leader lives forever. Even Methuselah, he didn't live forever. But Jesus, he lives forever. I say he lives forever.
Be a part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International. Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jefamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Albing on all social media platforms. God bless you.